country. And today, when you and I can agree on so many things, those of you who bemoan my lack of outlines, you'll get a bunch of them really quickly. But three things that we do on Sanctity of Life Sunday. The first is we celebrate God's creation. You realize, you know, where I'm standing, I see a lot of beautiful people. But I don't see anybody who looks just alike. Now, maybe in the case of Austin and Dennis, we could say there may actually be two who are peas in a pod. And sometimes uncle and nephew are that way. But the reality is you've got some similarities, perhaps, to the people sitting close to you. If you're husband and wife, you've probably learned to hold your mouth the same. You've kind of learned to hold your eyes the same. Your gestures might be the same. You may like that or dislike that. It depends on whom you've married. You may look like mama. You may talk like mama. You may walk like mama. But the reality is, from where I'm standing, you look pretty different, pretty unique. And so the Lord, from the very instant of your conception, has seen fit to celebrate His ability to create through you. And you and I celebrate that when we come together on a day like Sanctity of Life Sunday and celebrate the precious nature of creation and of each person. Second thing we do on this day is we recognize the role of our government in that process. And you and I certainly play a vast role. Sometimes we'll say, well, what can I do? But do you know just one person celebrating life and using a vocabulary that doesn't wait to see what the baby is going to be to know that the baby already is can change the world? And another thing we do is we recognize God's grace is made available regardless of the sin or the circumstance. No matter who you are this morning, no matter what you've done, no matter all the things you've been through, your life is still precious to God. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Now, we know that the Bible teaches that the Scripture says that the little ones, angels, look upon God all the time. And sometimes I'll hear people say, well, you know, the little ones are more precious. Folks, I want to tell you that it doesn't matter what stage of life you may be at. You're very precious. And so just because your hair may be present, or just because it may be gray, or just because it may be fuzzy and just now starting to come in, I always say I'm waiting for my adult hair to show up. My baby hair is gone. It worked with teeth. Whatever stage of life you may be in, it's a blessing to God, and God's grace is available to you. I want to speak to you this morning a message titled, Beware What You Put in the Back Seat. The reality is that you and I have to be cautious about the issues in our life that we decide are sort of fixed and unchangeable, and we put them on the back burner. Do you have a back burner? Beware the things that you put on the back burner. Sometimes our most precious cargo happens to be in the back seat. And so today we raise awareness for those issues we put on the back burner, our priorities. Do you realize as you and I prioritize our life, our highest calling is to glorify God through obedience. By doing what He has said do, we glorify Him and we let Him be revealed in us. And in the meantime, we bless the people that He would send us to connect with. Wherever He would send us to go, whatever He sees fit to have seen us to cross paths with somebody else, the reality is you and I are to obey Him, to reflect Him, and to bless those people He would send us to. Would you stand and locate in your Bible the book of Proverbs at chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And by the way, Amy, thank you so much for the song. Where'd she go? I thought you were going to give us the number. How much weight have you lost? 67 pounds. And so we thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate so much the things that she said and the testimony that she was giving. And she's been a good example to us. Proverbs 31, verse 8 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. You pray with me. Father, we're thankful this morning that You bless us. We ask that You would guide us in this service and along this day. Lord, I don't know all the things that You would have to be said this morning or to be done, but I know that You know, and so I just submit myself into Your hands that You might be able to speak and to do what You'd have us to speak and do. Lord, I just pray for Your wisdom, for Your word. I pray that You would guide everything that is done here this morning, that it would be done to the uplifting of You and Your kingdom. Lord, I just long to see You high and lifted up among the people who are here, and we would understand that every life is unique, and every person who has been created by You, no matter for how long, is very precious, very special. So we thank You for that. We thank You for the ministries of Lifehouse and Stephanie and Carmelita in the past and others. We pray that You bless them. that you continue to guide them. We know that you bring people on a daily basis to a crossroads where decisions are made that we don't exactly know which way they'll lead us. We know that you know what you're doing, and you're a great God. We love you, and we praise you. So we ask that you bless us as we consider these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You please be seated. The Scripture says to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Somewhere in your life, you've seen somebody who was being taken advantage of. Maybe it's like Moses, who had gone out to look at his Hebrew countrymen, and when he was there, he saw that they were being mistreated, and so he wrongly, perhaps, stood up for, you know, what they were going through and what they were facing. Maybe somewhere in your life, you have seen a young person, an older person, maybe the elderly, who were not being treated properly, and you had to step up and say, this is not right, and there's something that needs to be done. But realize that as Christians who follow what God has said in His Word, you and I are called to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Now, there's lots of people in that little phrase that you and I are called of God to speak for. First of all, we speak for that person who does not have a voice, who cannot possibly be heard, who can't even utter the sounds. And that would include folks like the unborn. And even in other cases, children who can make sounds and oohs and ahs. Jenny's niece, my niece, Jenny's brother's daughter. And they sent us a video yesterday that is now on YouTube and several other things. But there is this puppy who's barking and she's laughing. And that's basically the 30-minute video. The dog barks and the baby laughs. And the baby's really cute and funny, as you would expect a baby to be. And so many people have been commenting in the last 12 hours about, you know, how precious this is. And it is precious. And you and I know that in our lives, sometimes there's laughter, and sometimes there's joy, and sometimes there's tears, and sometimes there's lots of things, but sometimes we don't even know how to make the sound that needs to be uttered, that needs to be said. The baby from the womb perhaps would love to cry out, but can't yet. And so you and I are called of God, according to this Scripture, to speak for those who don't have a voice to be heard with. We're also called to speak up for those whom no one can hear. Sometimes in parts of the world, there are folks who are crying out, and God hears, and sometimes sends His people, but the world may not hear. The Apostle Paul, as he's traveling as a Roman citizen, has certain authorities and powers that are true for him that weren't true for other people. And so when he would be arrested for being a Christian, or when he would be wrongfully treated, at times he was able to say, wait, you don't understand what you're doing. I'm a Roman citizen. And some of you who've traveled around the world, you know the prestige that comes sometimes from being the only one from a certain place, and you're able to say, I'm from the United States. And somebody says, oh, you're an instant celebrity because you have a voice that can be heard. But not everybody around the globe, though they have a voice to speak with, not everybody is being heard. And you and I are called of God, I believe, to speak up for those whom no one can hear. We're also called of God to speak up for those that no one is listening to, sometimes because they just don't care, sometimes because what is being said is not important. But the reality is that God has called us to speak for those that nobody is listening to for one reason or the other. And that includes groups like the unborn. He continues to say, for the rights of all who are destitute, for those who are facing difficult things, for those who are not even just poor in their pocket, but are also poor in their spirit. You ever run across someone who was having a lousy day, lousy week, a dreadful year, a really hard time? Sometimes we may have, some money tucked away in our billfold in the car in the bank, and yet still be destitute in our heart. And you and I, according to Scripture, are called to speak up on behalf of those. And I can't help but think this morning about those sometimes who have committed great acts of sin, who have been greatly disgraced, who have, yes, brought terrible things upon themselves, but we're still called to speak up on their behalf for what they're going through. Not because we approve of the thing that has taken place, but because God has called us to speak on their behalf. And they need it to be done for them. On 9/11, you'll remember exactly what I mean when I say 9/11. The United States of America was poised for change. We've gone through a great political trial. Whether we agree with how the Chads were cut and how they were counted is not the issue. By 9/11, we were poised in this country for sweeping change in terms of abortion legislation. Regardless of political persuasion, there were individuals in all three segments of government who had made it supposedly their highest priority to change the way that this government and this country approaches the unborn. And campaigns had been run on such promises as these. Money had been raised. Community meetings had been held. And it appeared like, for the first time in Rob Eisen's lifetime, ironically born in 73, it appeared to me like we are about to see some great changes in terms of how the unborn are protected. And then something happened. Do you remember? 9/11. And on 9/11, on 9/10, we're going to change abortion. On 9/11, we're going to change the Taliban. And all of our priorities, in many cases at least, our priorities began to change. The tiniest victims, I say it this way, and you don't have to agree, but the tiniest victims perhaps of the military campaigns since 9/11 are 12 million unborn American children that have been lost to abortion. 3,414 days, which has resulted in the loss of 12 million tiny would-be citizens. And not all of those would have been saved. Some of those, without question, would have been lost for natural causes. But the reality is, sometimes we count casualties in the thousands and neglect the millions because our priorities have fallen in the wrong area. On the Statue of Liberty, we know the inscription that says, "Bring me your tired, your poor, your hurting masses yearning to breathe free." Sounds to me like a baby. I'm proud of the fact that in our country we have said to the third world, if you can get here, we'll love you. I'm proud of the fact that we have said to folks on every continent, we'll help you. But I'm disgraced by the fact that often we say to the unborn and maybe even to their mother, good luck. God be with you. I want to read just some excerpts from things that I have written time past. For the last 33 years, we've sent out mixed signals. One of our greatest demises has not been the war on poverty or the war on drugs, but since legalized abortion became part of our legal landscape, we've said to the hurting world, please come and enjoy what we have, but to the unborn, not so much. We've stood up on behalf of the hurting masses on every continent, but within our own borders, the majority have stepped back and allowed the defenseless unborn who've committed no sin, hurt no one, to be murdered. We rehabilitate our criminals, which is a great thing. We subsidize those who are unable to work, which is wonderful. We medicate those who cannot afford health care, and that's becoming more of a sensitive issue by the day, I know. Yet our most innocent citizens are only allowed to stay alive if their mother chooses to let them. Since when did freedom to choose include life or death for another person? And that's what an unborn baby is, by the way, a person who is hidden by the fleshly covering provided by the mother according to God's great design. Over 2,300 babies are killed by the mother's choice and a medical procedure every day in the United States. Most people arguing for abortion do so on the basis of rape and incest, which is dreadful. That involves 30 of those abortions per day. Over 2,200 deaths per day are simply because the mother did not want to have the baby, and God bless those mothers. We pray for them, and I remind you that God's grace is available to everyone, regardless of the sin or the circumstance. In mine and your own lives, regardless of the sin, we've all been disgraced by some of the choices that we've made. On our worst days, every one of us would be absolutely and totally embarrassed to even tell somebody what our name is, because they might preserve what we've done. I was watching a video once about a child that was being taken in an abortion. And you can hear the audio on this particular video as somebody observing says, when this baby is removed, huh, he said, it's just like a baby. And I would like to have spoke back to say, it's not just like a baby. It is a baby. On the ultrasound on the video a second ago, some of the children that we saw portrayed living, breathing. They had a head, they had a spine, a heartbeat. You know, they have a favorite song in the womb. It's called Heartbeat. Remember that tune? For some of us, it's a golden oldie. For some of us, it's a golden oldie. But your favorite song from the womb was the heartbeat, the mouth. In some of the cases of these children that we've seen was open. In the case of some of us, naturally, it hasn't closed yet. But even in the womb, some of those characteristics that will continue to be portrayed in adulthood are being lived out. Listen to the scripture from Isaiah chapter 55 at the first verse. God speaking through the prophet, and he says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." As we look at this scripture, I want you to think about the fact that the mother's womb is much like God's blessing toward us. You and I are in a situation in our lives where we could generate nothing good on our own. Paul said that there was nothing good in him, not even one thing. And he also says that we're all guilty of sin. Every one of us are dependent upon God's blessings, or else we would be absolutely destroyed without him. And the baby without the womb is no different. Verse 2 says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." The mother might say to her unborn, "Take freely. What you need, I'll supply. We're connected, me and you." And God might say to those of us who are alive today that we are a reflection of what He's doing throughout all creation, in that He and I are to be connected. That I have the opportunity to have my most greatest needs met by Him. And if not so, then He'll take me home to be with Him in heaven. So He cares for each one of us. He gives us the good things. And the mother might say to her young, "Listen. Listen to me." No doubt if you've had a pregnancy in the family in any time recent, some people talk to their plants. Never understood that exactly. Maybe that's a necessary thing, but a lot of us have talked through the womb to the baby. "How you doing in there, little guy? How's it going? I can't wait to see you." We say all kinds of crazy things because it's special and it's a baby and we want to talk to it, him or her. The mother says, listen to me and eat what is good in your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, she might say in verse number 3. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. One of the statements on the video a little bit ago said that babies are believed to sleep in such a way that they're already dreaming. What would a baby in the womb dream of? I mean, what a thought. But you know, Mom, it involves you. Because you're all she's seen. You're the primary thing that he's heard. And sometimes it's just constant heartbeat. If your heart sounds like that, you might have a leaking pacemaker. But maybe it's just heartbeat. And maybe it's your singing. You're your baby's favorite singer. And that's a big honor. Imagine if your husband or your best friend said, "Every time I fall asleep, all I hear is your voice. Every time I fall asleep, all I see is the inside of you." That's a scary thought. "Every time I fall asleep and it's a good dream and I wake up excited, it's because of what I know about you." Babies from the womb are not waiting to be. They're just waiting to see. I've told you about the saddest funeral that I have gotten to do to date. It was about a mother who was in her middle to late 40s. She had become pregnant after 25 years of thinking she could not become pregnant. And after a long period of time, going around churches, and telling people about this miracle that God had done for her and her husband at about 7 months along the baby passed away. And nothing that she could have done, nothing that she should have done differently, just happened. And she was left trying to reconcile, how do I go back to these same places and face these same people that I have told about this miracle? Because now my miracle's gone. And I thought, well, what in the world am I going to say to somehow make this sound like something we can get through? And I said something like this. You weren't waiting to know Brady. You knew him. You knew what time he woke up and kicked you. Because babies tend to have patterns just like some of us. You knew whether he liked to stay on the side that you patted or whether he'd move away from it. Katie was like calling a dog. You could pat Jenny's belly and here she'd come. Cameron was like running off a stray dog. You'd pat him on the head and he'd go away. They're different. Katie would lay, as you've heard me say before, with Jenny's belly to my back, and she'd kick me in the butt all night long. She literally was awake all night and then slept all day. Cameron was just every little bit. We're not waiting for them to show up and be somebody. They already are somebody. And one of the greatest things that you and I can do about this situation that we find ourselves in this country is simply to change the way we think, to not speak of babies as accidents. You know how many babies ever occurred as an accident? I mean, have you ever watched one of these videos about what it takes to make a life? Birth is not near as big a deal as conception. The cards were stacked against you ever getting here in the first place. And yet, by God's grace and power, you made it, showed up. And we're thankful for Him doing that. And so, you and I have the opportunity to change our vocabulary, to speak about life as a miracle, to speak about it as being precious, from the point of conception forward, and just maybe by the change of our perspective, we'll never be able to go back and undo what's been done, but maybe somehow we'll be able to make it seem more joyful for those who are blessed with the birth, who are blessed with the baby, who are able to make it through those days when it seemed like there was no hope because of what had been lost or had been done. The Lord says, like the mother might would say, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. You and I have that opportunity this morning as He is speaking to us. Like a mother to her unborn child, maybe the Lord speaks to us because He knows everything we've gone through. He knows everything that has happened past tense. He knows every thought that is in our head in this service this morning. And yet you and I have the opportunity to cry out to Him and to see Him do great things. I don't know the circumstances that everybody here this morning faces, but I know that we all face some difficult stuff. And God knows that. You and I sometimes feel like we are standing at a crossroads and we're trying to figure out what's going to take place. And we don't know. And so we're to put it in the Lord's hands and let Him take care of us. I was thinking of an old Martin song, or at least an old song to me, an old Martin song, about being at a crossroads and how the mother in that abortion clinic or in that pregnancy center or in the hospital or going before her parent or going before her husband or her boyfriend or whatever the case is, no doubt at times feels like I've come to a crossroads. So many of us come to a crossroads. And what are we going to do? Zach, I'm going to try this with a different microphone that I can move away a little bit. I believe you've got me really good. You know, I never want to sing a song until I'm crying. And I don't know if you've ever tried to sing a song while you were crying. It's not the best way to sing a song. Some people have a voice that was made for a cappella music. Mine is not one of those. I sing best when I have about four beautiful background singers so that you don't look at me and you don't hear me. But that's not always the case.
listen to the words of these songs, and if I get crying too hard, I'll just say it like a poem. If you know this song, you'll go back and listen to it later and say, that doesn't sound like the same song. But the important thing to know is, most of us are going to have times in our life, if we're not there now, when we're at a crossroad. What are we going to do? And the answer at the crossroad is basically to just find out where the Lord is, and no matter how it feels, or how it looks, or what the circumstances are, to just follow after what He would have us to do. And the hard part sometimes is figuring out, Lord, where are You? Is it the right-hand fork or the left-hand fork? And it's been my time, my experience in my life, that when I get to that place where I'm really humble and ready to listen, God speaks the easiest. When He doesn't have to shout, when He can just speak in a still small voice. So you pray that I don't embarrass either one of us. Are you standing at a crossroads, wondering which road you should take? And you're dreading the decision and a possible mistake. Oh, the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. Follow Him and know He'll lead the way. For He's the only road you'll ever take. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you. I think this is sad to me sometimes because I'm pretty average. And so I know what you go through. And I know how even when the message is about abortion and about changing legislation, that you and I might hold our head up a little higher when we see babies and know that there were far more born than were not born. I know that even in the midst of that, me and you go through stuff. And it's impossible for us not to recognize that we all have hurts and habits and hang-ups and difficulties and things that take place. And so it's just life for me and you to sit in a place such as this and know, man, people are going through stuff. I mean, even when they look beautiful, they're going through stuff. Forget the chorus for a second. I want you to hear this. This second verse, I always mess up. You've been waiting to hear thunder and see lightning in the sky. Oh, but God can prove His wonder with a still small voice inside. So keep listening and learning. He'll help you on your journey. Follow Him and know He'll lead the way. For He's the only road you'll ever take. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. And you'll always find that He's not very far from wherever you are.
And so, even So even when you were in the womb, you weren't by yourself. Mama was there. And even if Mama was not a very great mama, God was there. When you're at crossroads, and you'll be at crossroads, you'll not be alone, because God is there. Like a mother in the womb whose heart beats. You ever think about the sounds that God gives us? I mean, what does God's heartbeat sound like? You walk out in the morning and you hear the wind for the first time of the day. There's a bird singing, a car off the distance. Somebody else is up and going. The sun is shining, or maybe the rain's raining and all the sounds that come with the rain. But let it be a reminder to you that whether you say, "Mama, I'm not alone," or "God, I'm not alone," that constant something can be a message to you from God that says, "Give ear, come to me, hear, that your soul may live." Not because things are perfect. Not because when I get out of this mess, I'll be suddenly healthy, maybe the baby would say. But because that's the message and that's the truth. You and I need to give ear. You pray with me. Father, we thank you this morning that you bless us. We ask that you guide us. We ask that you would speak to us this morning to how we should live, to what you'd have us to do. You know the circumstance of each person here. You know the difficulties that we all face. Lord, we're just average folks. And most of us go through the same things over and over. So we pray that you would not give us strength through each other, but you'd give us strength through you. You'd bless us to hear your invitation, to listen, see what you have to say, and then be willing to do what you'd have us to do, and to move with you like a child who can't get away from the womb yet and has to go everywhere mommy goes. Bless us to be so connected to you that we would be your people growing up in you. But wherever you move, that's where we'd move. Pray your blessing. In Jesus' name.